In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, Almighty and everlasting God, grant unto us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what thou dost promise, make us love that which thou dost command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will speak today about trad controversies. During the public life of our Lord, he warned that his words were to cause strife, dissensions, and controversies. Many of his own disciples who heard his teaching said, "This is strange talk. Who can be expected to listen to it?" Even after our Lord's ascension, when the apostles took over his teaching office and Peter became the first pope, dissensions and controversies would rise. One trad controversy of ours is what is called the Una Cum Mass. By that we mean a Mass where the priest in the canon proclaims to offer this Mass together with the servant of God, the Pope. Father Cecada has written about this in detail in his article, The Grain of Incense. If you are a sede vacantist, that is a Catholic who believes there is no Pope now, you cannot attend a Mass where the priest mentions the name of a heretic in the canon. These include the Masses of the Society of Saint Pius X. You can't go to their Masses or send your children to their schools. In the Mass, the priest turns to the people and says, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Father Almighty." Therefore, if you attend an Una Cum Mass, you put yourself in the company of heretics. You also proclaim to be one with the ecumenical One World Woke Church of Francis. Americans have an expression that you must put your money where your mouth is. You also must put your actions where your faith is. If you think heresy is bad, you cannot pray together with the Church of Heretics. You have to show by your actions and not just by your words that you believe in something, otherwise you really believe in nothing. If you are a traditional Catholic, it is not possible to stay completely away from controversies, at least not without compromising your faith. But we should seek to avoid useless controversies and arguments, especially those waged publicly on the internet. There are many things of which traditional Catholics who are sede vacantists disagree about. Some of these concern serious and important matters, such as the Holy Week reforms of Pius XII, or the thesis of Cassiciacum. The danger is that when a diversity of positions arises on any subject, heated arguments also easily arise. These arguments then quickly develop into fighting and name-calling. Angry words are exchanged, fraternal charity is wounded, and frequently the disputants depart offended. It is true that today many faithful Catholics are confused about many things. This is because we haven't had a pope for decades now, and because of the chaos what the so-called Second Vatican Council caused. Unfortunately, as one theologian wrote in the late 60s, ever since Paul VI took off his tiara at the council, a vast number of people seem to believe that it descended upon their own heads. When controversies arise, remember, everyone has a right to his positions as long as they are not against faith and morals. But no one has a right to force his personal beliefs down another's throat. Disputes and arguments are always filled with danger to fraternal charity. Saint Augustine, in his rule, forbids them by these strong words: "As for disputes, either avoid them altogether or bring them to an end as soon as possible, lest anger grow into hatred and cause the soul to be guilty of murder." This is the reason why arguing about controversial matters is to be avoided. It is a serious danger to the soul. If you get involved in a physical fight, you put yourself in the danger of wounding yours or your opponent's body. And by involving in disputes and arguments, you put yourself in danger of wounding either your own or your opponent's soul. No one, generally speaking, becomes convinced as the result of an argument. Therefore, no one really wins it. He who has the best verbal skills becomes proud and self-satisfied. The loser, on the other hand, becomes uneasy, but also unconvinced. Feelings are wounded on both sides, and sometimes grudge or even hatred results between the contending parties. To shout down your opponent may give you a feeling of self-satisfaction, but such tactics convince no one. An unkind word or a criticizing remark can have terrible results, especially when you contend with controversial issues in social media. It is easy for you to forget that there is a real person of body and soul on the other side of the screen. If the person to whom you address your harsh words is of a shy or timid nature, he may not rise to his own defense, but he will be hurt very deeply, and when alone, he may cry his heart out. On the other hand, if your adversary is a tough character whose motto of life is "Don't tread on me," he will respond in the same way. In an outburst of anger or passion, a person says words that he can never recall. It is like dashing a mirror to the ground and breaking it into a thousand pieces. The pieces can be put together, but the mirror will never be as it formerly was. In the same way, friendships can be broken by rash words. And even after the reconciliation, persons who have grievously offended each other will probably never return to their former cordiality. What to do then when you see controversies arise? Good news is that even though you don't have power to stop them, you do have the power not to be involved. Did you know that when Benjamin Franklin designed the first official coin of the United States called the Fujiocent, he put there this inscription, "Mind your business." That is a very good advice. If you are in doubt whether you should speak or stay quiet, the better option is almost always to stay quiet. It is very rare that you'll get into big trouble by remaining quiet, but you can cause for yourself and others much unnecessary anxiety if you don't learn to control your tongue or your keyboard. If some issue is not a big deal, do not make it a big deal, but mind your business. If you, after careful consideration, do think that you should speak your mind, defend your position once, and then let the matter rest. Do not get involved in fights and arguments. If you do wish to convince another of the rightness of your views, follow the example of St. Thomas Aquinas. His positions and teachings did not immediately gain the respect they would later on. Many matters of theology and philosophy he wrote about were fiercely debated and opposed in the 1200s. But St. Thomas always refused to be involved in arguments. He simply stated his positions in his writings, proving his point from Scripture, Fathers, and reason, and left the matters rest there. And his mildness and charity calmed down his opponents. They were then able to see the merits of his points. In this way, logic and reasoning, instead of emotions, were used to determine the correctness of the teachings of St. Thomas. Next month, we priests and seminarians of St. Gertrude the Great start our seminary semester. Our seminary is dedicated to St. Charles Borromeo. This great Italian Archbishop of Milan had in his episcopal coat of arms only one word, humilitas, humility. It is from Christ from whom we learn how to be humble. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We traditional Catholics sometimes like to present ourselves as modern martyrs. We like to quote the words of Christ from the Sermon of the Mount, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely because of me." But the mere fact that you are opposed is not a proof of the truthfulness of your position. The communists in Soviet Union imprisoned and murdered many Catholic bishops, priests, and laymen. But they also rounded up and killed many schismatics, Muslims, and Jews. Just because you are persecuted is not a mark that you are a follower of Christ. And if someone speaks evil about you and you say nothing, that is not in itself a mark that you are humble of heart. After all, even a criminal has the sense to shut his mouth when he is accused in trial. The true mark of humility is that you bear no anger, hatred, or grudge against the person who has offended you. We who pride that we are persecuted, we seem to forget that some verses after those words of Christ in the Sermon of the Mount, he says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute and calumniate you. For if you love those that love you, what reward shall you have? Do not even the publicans do that? And if you salute your brethren only, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do that? You, therefore, are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." This rule to love our enemies and opponents is hard. It is probably the hardest of all the commandments our Lord has left us. This is because it involves destroying something which is our most treasured possession, namely our self-love. Nevertheless, it must be done. You will recall the parable of the unforgiving servant. The good king forgave this servant the debt of 10,000 talents. But then the king learned that the forgiven servant had choked another servant for the little sum of 100 pieces of silver. The king grew very angry and said, "Thou wicked servant, I remitted all that debt of thine at thy entreaty. Was it not thy duty to have mercy on thy fellow servant, as I had mercy on thee?" Then the king delivered the wicked servant to the torturers until he paid all the debt. And our Lord concluded, "It is thus that my heavenly Father will deal with you if brother does not forgive brother with all his heart." To sum up, for the peace of your own soul and that of your neighbor, pledge to stay away from arguing about controversies. If there is a need to defend your view, do it once, clearly, shortly, and charitably, and then leave the matter to rest. And if you are offended, you can't bear any grudge against the person who offended you. No matter how exemplary we may be in the external observance of the commandments, and no matter how zealous we are in keeping the Catholic faith, we are only sham martyrs if we remain hard and unforgiving toward anyone. St. Paul, who was no stranger to controversies, wrote, "Do not repay injury with injury. Study your behavior in the world's sight as well as in God's. Keep peace with all men where it is possible for your part. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved. Allow retribution to run its course. Do not be disarmed by malice. Disarm malice with kindness. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.